Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And welcome. Great to have you with us. After yesterday's unqualified disaster, we are back on the air.
I was listening to you. Kevin's... It didn't sound like you were off the air.
No, it has nothing to do with what happened on the air at all.
Oh, okay.
Yesterday was a strong show. Your son getting his driver's permit is what we consider in the Valley to be an unqualified disaster.
He did well last night. I mean, there's no marks on the car that wasn't there when we started. No need to file a claim. It was a good day.
Processes early.
Yeah. Well, it was funny though when you know, we took him in the off-road areas that we could get him used to it to drive in. I said, okay, now make a left. Make a what? Make a left. But that'll put me on the road. I'm like, that is correct. It will put you on the road. There's a little fear, fortunately, for him in the way of driving. He does recognize the fact that he is like in a 3,000-pound vehicle that can do damage. So that's a good thing. That's a good thing.
Well, imagine how the rest of us feel knowing he's doing that.
Do you remember your first drive? Do you remember your first time driving?
Yep. Mm-hmm. I do. As a matter of fact, my father's the one that taught me. He had an old Ford pickup truck that he used in his business. They had to deliver parts in all the time. And it had three speeds on the column. Three speeds on the column. So, boom, in and down to get going.
Oh, I drove clutch, one of those, yeah.
Clutch up and to the top and out. Boom, clutch, and then bring it straight down to third. That's how I had to learn. As opposed to getting in an automatic and going, okay, boom, I stop. There I go. I stop and go. Now I'm shifting and clutching. And like, thinking to myself, huh, this is going to take a while to learn to do this. Now, ironically, when I took the driver's test, it was actually on the car we had, which was an automatic. But, I mean, I learned to drive that pickup truck with three speeds on the column. That's what I learned on. It's a little different than what your guy's going through
right
now. Oh,
yeah. Well, I learned on a stick as well. I mean, my father said to me, if you're going to learn, learn on a stick shift, and then you can take your test on an automatic.
That's what my mother said. You'll always be able to drive with my comfort.
But he was right. He was right. I mean, you know, I just a couple of weeks ago, we were in a Hyundai that was a stick, and he said, you know, Skip said, can you drive one? I'm like, yeah, it's been a while, but I can do that.
Oh, I mean, I know I can drive one. But boy, learning on one was not exactly.
That's exactly right. Ironically enough, though, after the first year of driving, we did have to replace the clutch in it. I'm not sure if it was a coincidence or not, but.
No, you know what? The one time, driving. Where I had a clutch problem is that when I was working at a radio station, we were in a parade, and because I was the one person that could drive a stick, nobody else in the company could. They had this vehicle that had the company logo on it. They had two of them. One was an automatic and one wasn't. They wanted both vehicles in this parade. It was in Bellefonte. And I want to say it was Bellefonte's bicentennial. That's why it was such a big deal, is Bellefonte's bicentennial. So they wanted both vehicles in, and I was the one person that could drive the stick shift, so they asked me to do it. I said, okay. Well, for those of you who've ever been in Bellefonte, Bellefonte is one hill after another. Well, I'm in this vehicle, and of course they have the 8 to 10-year-old majorettes in front of us. And, you know, I've got, you know, my foot on the clutch. I'm easing it up. I mean, because the one thing you didn't want to do was, like, you know, jolt forward. radio station.
Yeah, you don't want to run over anybody or drift over anybody in the back.
Or suddenly out of nowhere, it looks like majorettes bowling for dollars. Right. You know, it's like, great, fabulous. Okay, here we go. And so at one point going up the hill toward the high school in Bellefonte, and it's a pretty good hill, started to smell the clutch just a little bit. I thought to myself, okay, we got a little problem here.
Not a good sign.
Not a good sign. So, and you know, he's driving, and what, you got 6 months here?
Yeah, 6 months till August 24th before he could actually take the test. But one of the big problems is when you're teaching someone how to drive, like when I was driving, you could go to the Bloomsburg Fairgrounds and you could drive around the parking area there. Well, that's all sealed off now for safety issues and, of course, you know, lawsuits over the years and so forth. But and it's really hard to find a location to teach somebody how to drive and how to drive at, you know, traffic speed without being on the road.
Yeah.
That's one of the biggest challenges we're finding right now.
Because parking lots are not as wide open.
Exactly. Exactly. So now, you know, your first experience at even 40 or 45 miles an hour is on the highway, which I think was the moment of panic when I said, make a left. And he said, well, I'll be on the road then.
Yeah.
So anyway, that was my day yesterday. It was fun.
I told the All in the Family story, related it to you yesterday. The All in the Family story was that when, and for those not familiar with All in the Family, it was a show that took place in the 70s with Carol O'Connor playing Archie Bunker.
Sure.
I'm telling for the audience, for the younger people in the audience. Gene Stapleton played his wife. The son-in-law was played by Rob Reiner, and his daughter was played by Sally Struthers. And, of course, the son-in-law and the daughter were living in the house at the time, and Archie had a few issues with anybody who wasn't like him. How about that?
That's a fair way to put it. PC way to say it.
Yes. And there was one point later in the run of the show, well, they took on several issues left and right, and one of them they took on was menopause, change of life. So Archie was not the single most patient person on the face of the earth. And so she'd be going along, and then there'd be a mood swing, and he wouldn't react to it right, and the whole deal. So there's a scene where he is sitting there in his chair, and Mike Stivic, quote, meathead, is sitting, the son-in-law is sitting in her chair. And meathead looks at, Mike looks over at Archie and says, he says, so you went to the doctor today? He said, you guys went to the doctor today. He says, yeah. He says, yeah, I took her over to the doctor. Oh, okay, good. He says, well, what did the doctor say? He says, well, got these pills. Mike says, oh, really? He says, pills will help? He says, well, he says, yeah, he told me if I take two of these every 4 hours, it would calm my nerves. That is you, my friend. We will come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Welcome back. Great to have you with us. Let's see. The email trail got to me today about Keith Olbermann. And, of course, he's, you know, second day of his 4-show suspension is today. Now, we talked about it. Cindy made a call yesterday about it. He was very passionate about it as to what he said, what he didn't say, as to what he said or what he tweeted. It was a Twitter war as to what happened, which we've talked about. And let's see. Where's this email I got? I got this email today about Olbermann. There it is. Olbermann comments. Let's see. Do that one more time. There we go. Listen to the show. Disappointed I could not listen past 3:30 today. Well, This is from Donald. Well, Donald, we're disappointed too, and you'll be reprimanded. No, just kidding. Due to a meeting. A meeting was more important than the show.
Yeah, you got to skip the meeting.
Let's start with that issue right there, man. Oh, okay. I did learn of the suspension from the airwaves of Keith Olbermann for the rest of the year. Based on what I heard, I think it is less than appropriate action on ESPN's part, but I'm glad they did something with the clearly inappropriate comments about Penn State students, Thon, etc., by him. Since that Keith has little, if any, good to say about PSU as a result of the Sandusky affair, he seems to have colored the whole university, all students, sports teams, etc., negatively as a result of the Sandusky actions and what he sees as a lack of action to what he did. Keith needs to be educated and sensitized to the good that goes on in Happy Valley, and clearly has time now to embark on that effort. I strongly suggest that you, with your public voice and network of people in State College and the University Park area, make a strong effort to invite Keith to Happy Valley for a couple of days later this week for his re-education and sensitization. He is somewhat humbled by his own action, and if an environment can be created for him to learn about the good in Happy Valley and interact with those who are part of it in a manner that is education oriented and without malice on people's part, a lot of negative he has done can be made into a positive. Thanks for reading and considering, Don. Well, that's an interesting, it's interesting, and I understand exactly where he's coming from. Now you have to ask yourself, is it realistic? And it's not a question, by the way, of Keith Olbermann, for example, hey, I'll get in a car, I'll drive to Happy Valley. He doesn't drive. So, you know, I mean, he has a driver, but he doesn't drive. So he'd have to get here. Number two, would it do any good? This has been a case with this story. And I read someone from Slade magazine or whatever about actually, you know, not quite defending Olbermann, but you know, and puts in the narrative about what people did and didn't do here and so forth. You know, nobody knows. What is very confusing to me about this story is that there have been no trials, except for Jerry, obviously. But the trials of the administrators, which is the part that people... hasn't happened yet. Nothing has happened. Not one of the three of them has put their story out there at all. And they haven't had a chance to publicly defend their actions and given us an opportunity to see whether or not we believe them or not. Yet it has spiraled so far out of control that you would think that it is an absolute that this happened. And, of course, nobody did anything, quote, and should have done something, which the last... and I've asked a couple of people, so in other words, you believe in vigilantism. What? No. I said, don't do that. Nobody has allowed this to play out. And that, to me, is the unfair part. I've always said the entire time, and I've been very strong about this from day one, it's about truth and fairness. If the truth is a terrible one, let the fairness be terrible. So be it. If the truth is benign, then let the fairness be benign. We've never gotten to the truth part of it. Yet the fairness of one way or the other has already been assigned by many people. And that's the part I have found baffling in this. Why bother to have a court system if everybody's already made up their mind about what happened in any given case? And that's the part that I find troubling in this. And that's why when I talked about the NFL and what the NFL went through, where you talk about judge and jury and so forth, there have been a lot of things, and there's been inconsistency. I'll give you an example of inconsistency on the part of the Big Ten. Okay, here's the Big Ten. Now, this goes back a ways. But remember the story I've told you about Northwestern and point shaving, and I actually did a game where it was alleged and eventually, you know, about a game that was fixed? The number of times I talked about that game?
Absolutely. I remember. Yeah, we've talked about it many times.
Do you know what action the Big Ten took against Northwestern?
Did they take any?
None. Zero.
I don't remember you saying. That's what I wondered.
That's because they took no action. Now, that's something that a conference should take action on. Because you're talking about affecting play, affecting championships. That's something you should take. They took no action on that. And here, before there are any trials that have taken place to find out guilt, innocence, explanation, lack of explanation, whatever, none of that has taken place yet. Zero. Yet everybody has already weighed in on the verdict and the penalty. And that's the part that I have found in all of this. Okay? Obviously, the part you find troubling is what happened and what Jerry was convicted of. That's the single most troubling part. Now for the ancillary troubling part. The ancillary troubling part is that without allowing the legal process to play out on guilt or innocence, guilt was already assigned and we're done. And I've always found that to be illogical and wrong in how our legal system is supposed to work. Again, if the truth verifies everything that people are assuming right now, then so be it. But we haven't once heard from the principals involved as to what they did or didn't do at that time and why. And that can only happen in a court of law. Yet verdicts have already been handed down by the NCAA, by the Big Ten, by the media. And this is the latest in that case. And I thought, when it comes to media and when it comes to getting information out there, that goes against every journalistic principle.
This year marks Sunbury Motor Company's 100th year in business, and we will be keeping the same tried and true values we've had ever since we opened our doors, guaranteeing your car buying experience will be smooth and hassle-free. No spinning a wheel for specials you don't need or want. No pushy sales staff pouncing on you as soon as you arrive. No sideshow yelling. Since we began back in 1915, we have strived to be your most trusted friend when it comes to all of your new car needs, whether that's in sales or service. We strive to offer you as many viable options as we possibly can. Sunbury Motor Company always carries a line of few other auto dealers in our area can compete with. With our inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there should be no problems with finding the right vehicle to fit your needs. Our friendly and trustworthy staff is knowledgeable in all of our products and stand ready to answer all of your questions and meet all of your needs. In honor of 100 years in business, SMC is introducing the all-new Auto Club, where Sunbury Motors will pay you for every mile you drive. Be sure to ask us about our Auto Club benefits. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza and at sunburymotors.com. Proudly owned by the Mertz family since 1915.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
So again, back to Don's very thoughtful email. And let me bring it back full circle, because Kevin rudely interrupted me with the news of all things.
I don't know what I was thinking.
I can't stand when the format gets in the way of when I'm on a roll.
I can't stand it when the format interrupts me.
Hey, what's going on here? Back to Don's very thoughtful email. And it was very thoughtful, very well crafted. And here's the issue. I don't think it really would help. And I think there are certain minds that are not open-minded and would be very difficult to change. I think a lot of people, Don, have actually cemented in their head what the narrative is. How about that? And I don't think they're willing to take the extra step to find out. Your email was very thoughtful, very intelligent, but at the same time, realistically, realistically, I think there are certain. There's certain minds that are not going to change in all of this. I think they've cemented in their heads what they think, how they think, and so forth. And this has been a very difficult story to go through. And the reason it's been so difficult is that, for example, certain things get cemented and then get taken out of context. I'll give you a perfect example. How often have we heard, Kevin, the quote by Joe Paterno, "I wish I had done more"?
Lots of times.
Except that's not what he said. Here's the quote was, "In hindsight, I wish I had done more."
That's very true. I remember that now. That way, now that you mention it.
Okay. In hindsight, I wish I had done more. That's a completely different quote than "I wish I had done more." And that's why, in covering this, that's what's become so difficult, that simple things such as that, not even that's correct. And that's why Don's email about, yeah, if you bring him in, you show him all the great things and the whole thing, while a great idea, people have cemented in their heads what is the narrative, and I don't think anything's going to change it. So, just responding to his email. All right. If you'd like to jump in and talk to us today, we were talking about analytics the other day and that the Phillies are dead last in the use of analytics. You were taken aback and stunned.
They're dead last in a lot of categories. Right now, I think they're dead last in future talent, too.
Oh, you're just...
realistic. So not bitter, negative. Realistic.
So negative. I mean, what was the record last year?
I think they had 70 wins, didn't they?
That's the one analytic that counts.
Yeah, but you know what? There was a point where I just stopped caring. To be quite honest, there was a time that I stopped caring. And you know what? I credit Mets fans who could have really, really rubbed Philly fans' noses in it, but didn't, because they realized that they didn't have a 500 year either. But 73 wins, 89 losses for the Phils.
See? 73 times you went home happy.
Yeah, the key word is, well, at one point they hadn't won many games at home than they had on the road. The Phillies won 36 games on the road, 37 at home. They actually evened the number out.
Yeah.
But there was one point where early in the season, I don't know that they won more than two games at home. And that wasn't with two games gone by in the season. It was like the April, early to mid-May. It was like only a few games at home. They couldn't win anything at home.
You're just a negative guy.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah. Just, you're a hater.
I'm trying to be optimistic about this baseball season.
No, there really is nothing. No,
I mean, I'm even trying to think, can the Red Sox be optimistic? And I think they have room to be optimistic this year.
Well, look, money-wise, they've rolled the dice, and they've rolled the dice on big names that have produced. Hanley Ramirez, who, by the way, Hanley Ramirez is a part of Red Sox history already because they've traded him once. He was actually the guy they traded along with Anibal Sanchez to the Marlins for Josh Beckett and Mike Lowell. Well, the trade worked out awesome for both teams. Ramirez was an all-star with the Marlins. Sanchez developed into a really good pitcher, better now with the Tigers. And Beckett and Lowell were two critical reasons why the Red Sox won the 2007 World Series. Beckett was a 20-game winner, and Lowell's the World Series MVP. So, I mean, it's so that's one of those trades, like, hey, how did it work out for everybody? Well, Ramirez is now back. He's going to have to play in the outfield. But he's a guy that when he played for the Dodgers the last couple of years, he was the swing guy as to whether or not the Dodgers were playing well or not. And we all know what Sandoval has done. Now, some guy in Boston, some reporter in Boston, I don't know if it's a print guy, a radio guy, a TV guy, whatever, has poked fun at Sandoval's weight. And he says, look, you want to go through the conditioning thing with me? Come on through. Come on through. We'll do it together. We'll see how. Okay. You know? You know, and I was asked today, how do you think the fans will, like, react to the panda in Boston? Somebody asked me that today because ESPN was doing something at the Red Sox camp. And I said, if the dude hits, who cares? They'll love him. It's amazing that, again, perception is all on whether or not he's your guy or not. For example, let's take Pablo Sandoval. Okay? If he's playing for the Giants, you're like, boy, he's really overweight. He's really out of shape. If he's playing on your team, boy, that sucker can hit, huh? You know what the difference between being flamboyant and a jerk is? Whether or not you like the person. You don't like them, they're a jerk. You're like, well, he's just flamboyant. It's all perception. That's what it always is. So, yeah, they spent a lot of money. They also made a lot of deals for the starting pitching staff. It'll be interesting to see how it plays out. The catcher situation will be interesting. You got Pedroia. You got Bogaerts. You got Sandoval. Napoli. You got Ortiz. You got Victorino, who's going to be the starting right fielder. You've got Hanley Ramirez, and then we'll see how the center field thing plays out. Whether or not the young player from Cuba can win the job there. I think, what, Castillo is his name? And then you go from there. See what you got. I mean, they should be more optimistic, but the Orioles are the team to catch in that division. The Orioles are the best team in the in the American League East. They didn't do as much in the offseason, the Orioles, but they didn't have to do as much. I think they're actually pretty well positioned. Good pitching staff. Whole deal. I mean, at least we're talking baseball. I mean,
true.
What's the temperature there right now? It's here, it's 34. Is it 34 degrees there?
Good question. Hang on a minute.
I mean, because you know what I noticed around here? It's 34 degrees. Nothing's melting.
Well, it's been white for how long?
I mean, my goodness, Mel, go away.
I got an email from Bloomsburg University saying that the baseball schedule will be slid back a little bit.
Yeah, no kidding.
Good call. 36 degrees right now and mostly sunny with a real feel of 33.
I was talking to Rob Cooper, the baseball coach, today, and I asked him about what he's learned over the years about practicing indoors at this time of the year and then suddenly playing outdoors on the weekend? And he says, I'm so used to it, I never really have thought of that question. There are no real tricks to the trade to do it. Not easy. You know, not easy. And this.
Yeah, I can't. It's tough to get excited about baseball when you look outside and see, you know, 10 degrees or this morning minus 6, and then you're warming up to the mid-30s and feeling excited, like you said, not seeing much snow melt.
It's not melting. I don't get it.
I mean, how much snow do they have right now at Fenway on the field? I mean, they're what, less than a month away from opening? Well, maybe a little bit more than a month from opening day.
7 feet.
I mean, no, really?
Yeah, 7 feet.
There is 7 feet of snow at in Boston right now at Fenway.
Yeah.
Wow.
Now, they open the season at Philadelphia.
Oh, well, that'll be all the better. There's only a foot of snow there.
I don't think there's any snow in Philadelphia.
No, I don't. There might not be. No, I was exaggerating.
I mean, and I only say that because that buys them another week. And they'll need it. I mean, they'll need it. I mean, they've been crushed this winter. It's been incredible. Last night, Maryland won over Wisconsin. Great basketball game. And, you know, Maryland has stepped into the Big Ten, and they won the field hockey championship. They've won the women's basketball championship. They're in second place in men's basketball. They did well enough in football where they got to a bowl game. They've actually been able to get in and get off to a good start in this thing. Rutgers, on the other hand, yeah, they got to a bowl game. Everything else, no. Although women's basketball is pretty good. So.
You know,
those are the additions.
Well, I just heard a rumor. I think it was CBS Sports that actually has some of their draft boards up for the NFL draft. And one of the things that they're looking at is a Philadelphia trade. You may have to make a call to Brandon Gauton from Bleeding Green Nation to see if he's heard any rumors regarding the Eagles trying to make a move to get Mariota.
Well, I certainly would think at some point they're going to have to consider. Look, this is the decision they have to make in Philadelphia. It's a very simple decision. Okay, do we have enough to put together a trade to get to the number two spot and get Mariota? Number two, or forget it, we have complete confidence in Nick Foles. That's the decision. If you have enough confidence in Nick Foles moving forward, then you don't make the deal. If you do, well, that's what you look at.
I don't know. I don't see them having confidence there. It just doesn't seem that way. Let's put it that way. How about that?
Well, he played really well his first year. He stayed away from mistakes, did a lot of good things. He really struggled last year, and that's what makes the evaluation very difficult. Which guy is it? Is it the guy that struggled last year, or is the guy that was efficient and careful the year before? And that's the issue you have. He's a hard – Foles, to me, is a hard guy to evaluate because he's giving you two distinctly different bodies of work to look at. RG3 is not as easier to evaluate because with the injuries and everything like that, he's had a steady downward progression. There's been nothing confusing about what we've watched. He's gone backwards, 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 backwards. Foles only has 2 years of a body of work to look at, and they're both different. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right, welcome back. Great to have you with us. Kevin is in another Sunbury Motors vehicle this week. That's very intriguing.
There we go. For years, you've been trying to turn my mic off. Now you've figured out a way to do it. Yes, I am in the Sunbury Motors Hyundai Elantra GT.
What do you think? I have a remote control here?
Oh,
what?
I think you figured something out. You're a clever guy.
Well, I figured something out a long time ago, but go ahead.
The hatchback has plenty of room in the back with a split seat that you can fold down for more storage space, plus a cargo net. Also has the carpeted floor mats included in this particular model, plus 2.0-liter engine. So not only do you get fuel economy, but there's a little bit of a boost there, too, when you do hit the gas. And, you know, one of the things that I've noticed that not every vehicle has is, and I'm the type that uses it a lot, and next time you're in a vehicle, I want you to think about this. Your left foot, where do you put your left foot? Well, this particular model has a left foot rest on it. Not carpeted. It actually has a pad on there so you don't wear out the carpet if you do what I do and then rest your left foot in the upper left-hand side of the floor mat. Just one of the many neat little features that you'll find in the Hyundai Elantra with America's best warranty. Check it out at Sunbury Motors Hyundai, North 4th Street, Auto Plaza in Sunbury. You can also see details at sunburymotors.com. Or if you want to see a picture of the car, go to my Facebook page or at Kevin Herr on Twitter.
All right, another great vehicle. Check it out, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors keywords 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Phone lines open, 1-800-795-9565, 800-795-9565. Tough break for Derrick Rose of the Bulls. Also, Patrick Kane got hurt. Not a good night for Chicago sports. You ever tell you my Patrick Kane story?
I don't think so.
Dick Girardi and I last year, Dick had to get a rental car from Enterprise.
They'll pick you up, I understand.
Well, this time I had to take him. And it was snowing here. So Dick calls me up. He says, hey, you know, can you give me a hand? I got to go from the hotel over to get the car. I said, yeah, sure. So I pick him up. It's snowing. I mean, it's snowing pretty hard. And I have on the radio the hockey shootout between the United States and Russia. The one where TJ Oshie went nuts.
Right.
So every time they go, and the United States sends out its next skater, they have different rules in the Olympics compared to the NHL. You can send the same dude out there. And Dick says, send out Patrick Kane. Oshie takes the puck, and Oshie scores. All right? They come out, send out Patrick Kane. They send out Oshie. Oshie takes the puck. Oshie scores. He goes, send out Patrick Kane. And I looked at him. I said, all right, I'll bite. Why the obsession with Patrick Kane? He says, he's the only guy I know.
That is a Dick Girardi comment right there. He's the only guy I know.
And then Oshie kept scoring, and then finally the United States won. And Dick said, I told you they should send Oshie out there. He's great. All right. We'll come back. Next hour of the show here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, Mike Hall, his first appearance ever with us here from Big Ten Network tomorrow.